Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Perkovic, and this is episode number 598. Releasing April 11 in Australian cinemas is Late Night with the Devil, a horror mockumentary that stars David Dasmalchian as a struggling late-night host whose Halloween episode special releases Hell on Earth. A brilliantly conceived and executed mockumentary that taps into the cultural impact of horror and TV during the gritty 1970s, the Australian-made Late Night with the Devil is a unique horror movie experience in which scares are delivered under the bright lights of prime time. Last year, I had the privilege of interviewing the directors and writers of Late Night with the Devil, Cameron and Colin Cairns. Here is our conversation. Enjoy. And joining me now on a Matt's Movie Reviews podcast are the directors of Late Night with the Devil, Cameron and Colin Cairns. Cameron and Colin, thank you both very much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Colin, I'm going to have my first question go to you first. So, the 70s. Yeah. You know, I understand why this movie is set in the 70s. There's something about the tone, aesthetic of that time.
Yeah.
Great movies, great music. I listen to, I'm an 80s kid, but I listen to 70s music all the time. Black Sabbath, yeah. You know, Rush, you know, Aerosmith, that's my jam, yeah. You know. Yeah. I love the 70s movies and such. But also in regards to this movie, the 70s is a time where you have these kind of like figures of evil around that time, the Charles Mansons, your Anton LaVey's, all these kind of guys. Yeah. I'm sure when you guys were putting this idea together and we were thinking of time periods that it would have just been a slam dunk, right, for the 70s to be the time to release this thing, right?
It felt to us it couldn't be any other decade. I mean, it could, but it'd just be a different kind of movie. And yeah, we, you know, we were around for a bit of the 70s and remember some of that, and certainly the 80s. And it really was a golden age for all the things you've just mentioned, the good and the bad, you know, the movies of that era, the horror in particular, but also the music, but also, you know, talk shows. It was really a golden age of, you know, people like Johnny Carson, your Dick Cavett's, and over here we had, you know, your Graham Kennedy's and Don Lane's, people like that. So it just seemed like, yeah, it'd be a really fun mix to put all those things together and in the genre blender and see what comes out.
Cameron, the Don Lane connection is really interesting in that, you know, for everyone out there, my US listeners, he was kind of like an import from the US to Australia. He was kind of like the kind of late night host in the 70s in Australia and in some of the 80s as well. Interestingly, in regards to your film, he had the great Randy on the show once. And for those who don't know, he's like this skeptic who offered $1 million for anyone who could show supernatural proof, you know, to him. And he often debunked it. And there was a big confrontation on that show, which is something you guys kind of play with the movie. Mm. When it came to Don Lane as kind of like the inspiration of the film, what was it about him that really spoke to you guys? That he will be the guy to kind of like base around him, especially during the time of the Johnny Carsons and such in that era?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Don had, unlike Johnny Carson and Dick Cavett, who I think came from a magic background, they were both magicians. So they're always keen to debunk the likes of Uri Geller or Doris Stokes, whereas Don was a little bit more open-minded about that sort of stuff, the supernatural and mind readers and psychics, and he would often invite those sorts of characters on the show. And I think he was convinced that these people had powers, and it took somebody like Randy to sort of wake him up and wake us all up. I don't know that he woke Don up. Don,
no, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, there's that infamous incident on the show when Randy appeared and proceeded to debunk the Geller spoon bending trick, but Don would have none of it and stormed off his own show. I think a lot of Australians of a certain age remember that that particular show, and I think that sort of was a big inspiration for the film. Mm. So Don, look. It's interesting. When we were writing the character, we probably had somebody more like Dick Cavett in our heads. Mm. But when we started sharing some reference material with David, who plays Jack Delroy, he was really drawn to Don. And sort of, I guess, maybe it wasn't so much his delivery or man, it was just more his, his openness to all things supernatural. That he
really wore his beliefs and his heart on his sleeve, unlike a lot of these more, these cooler professional types.
He was Colin, the casting of David Dasmarchi and as Jack Dilroy, the late night host of Night Owls, your fictional late night show, is incredibly inspiring because everyone knows David for his performances, mostly supporting performances and such. But here he's playing a lead number one, which is terrific. And number two, it's a very charismatic performance as well. We don't see that charisma that much, the comedic timing and all that stuff. But then there's that era of mystery to him as well. Yeah. What was it like getting David on board and once you had him? He just seems like, I've talked to him once in regards to a movie that he wrote and produced, and he's a guy that when he's on a project, no matter how big, no matter how small, he's all in. And I'm sure that was something that you guys experienced as well.
Absolutely. He was, we're quite blessed to have him. He was, you know, when we got him, so early in the piece, we had the script, but we also had this sort of lookbook type thing, and it was a mock-up of the old, in Australia we had the TV Week, but in America I think it was TV Guide. And this mock-up of what the TV Guide of that year, of that week, of that show would have looked like, with Jack Dilroy on the cover and stories inside about the upcoming Halloween special. And, we put quite a bit of work into that. It was really kind of pitching the style, the tone of the film. And that's the first thing I think David saw, and he loved that. And that got him to crack open the script, and then he loved the script and the character. And we were on. And so we were very, very fortunate because, as you say, he is all in. He just commits, 110%. And, it wasn't, he's great, but it's a fantastic cast. I mean, the rest of the cast, obviously all local Australian actors, but all of them terrific. Everyone just rose to the occasion, and the chemistry on set was something else. So, but a lot of that had to do with David's commitment and passion for the project.
And David is also 100% the horror guy, He's the horror nerd. So it just made our working relationship a lot easier, having that large frame of reference. Mm. And we just entertain each other with horror stories and just
obscure
horror films from days gone by.
The Maths Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Fandango. Get the latest showtimes, guarantee tickets, browse Rotten Tomatoes scores, and watch trailers with Fandango, the number one movie ticketing app. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by TeePublic. TeePublic is the world's largest marketplace for independent creators to sell their work on the highest quality merchandise. With over 1.2 million designs, TeePublic is sure to have something you will love. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Gift Card Store. Australia's leading provider of gift cards, Gift Card Store offers a variety of prepaid MasterCard and Visa cards in physical or e-card format. You can even design your own card as the ultimate personalized gift. With Gift Card Store, you can gift the gift you know they will love. Please support Matt's Movie Reviews on Patreon. Get access to exclusive content, request movie reviews and top 10 lists, and help support my work. Please click on the Patreon link in the description below. Cameron, what's interesting about that era of the 70s as well, even some part in the 80s as well, is how the rise of new technologies came with that, a fear that evil of some sort will find its way on these technologies. You had, like, in the early 80s, Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne, other heavy metal artists with the court cases about messages in their music prompting kids to suicide. And then you had Billy Graham, the great preacher who millions of people listened to after The Exorcist came out. He said watching that film would provoke, demonic forces in your life, which is funny because as myself, as a Catholic, I find The Exorcist to be the most pro-Catholic film of all time. I always find that funny. What was it about, especially in regards to your movie, dealing with a live TV show, this new era of television at the time and talk about ratings and such and everything else, and then having this presence be a part of that and perhaps not give away too much, but perhaps exploiting that. What was it about interesting about that, the technology-wise in the the conjuring of evil as as using this tool to kind of go out into the living rooms of the nation.
Well, obviously it's the 70s, so we're in the analog age still. Mm. But all those things you speak of, the kind of climate at that point where it was, I guess, the burgeoning satanic panic. And I think people were perhaps a little bit more susceptible, vulnerable, naive back then. Not to say that, you know, in today with, you know, the social media and you know, the way that the media has developed over the last 40 years, I don't think much has changed. Mm-hmm. But I guess, when we're thinking about how the devil might want to reach an audience, it just felt like, that felt like its natural home, live TV, late at night.
We're at our most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it was that, you know, we're talking, it's sort of the Vietnam era as well. You know, we say in the opening minutes of the movie, it's sort of like the horror is being beamed into people's living rooms for the first time. They're watching this stuff happen in real time. So it was kind of the beginning of that period. I think people were hungry for that kind of content in a way, because it was visceral and, you know, everything suddenly felt close to home. So, yeah, again, more reason to set it in that, in the, you know, the heart of that sort of era.
What's interesting about these days is that there's just so much content out there now, online especially, that I don't know if you can shock people anymore. We've gone through videos of terrorists beheading people. We've gone through videos of UFOs coming out. Yeah. And yet these things don't last long in the zeitgeist. It moves on to the next thing. So my question to you both is that if tonight Jimmy Fallon conjured a demon on TV, how long would it would that last before the next one comes out?
I think audiences would probably shrug their shoulders and then
what else have you got?
The next TikTok would come along and all distract us. So
final question for you guys. You know, you've gotten such great rave reviews since you premiered at South by Southwest, but none bigger than the master of horror himself, Mr. Stephen King, tweeting his love and admiration for Late Night with the Devil. And it's something that I concur 100%. I mean, he said that it's absolutely brilliant. Couldn't you take your eyes off it? Urge you to watch it when you can. And I was saying to my wife, who doesn't watch horror movies, she doesn't like it, and I said, you have to watch this one when it comes out. We're going to watch it because it is, number one, it is a horror movie, but there's so much more to it, because I think what resonated with him and will resonate with others as well is that, yes, it is a horror film, but there's a depth to it as well, especially in regards to Jack Delroy's character. He's a man that's really flawed. He's hurting. He's grieving. Yep. And all that stuff is there. It's bubbling underneath the surface, and it comes to the fore. Again, not to give away too much, but I think that kind of depth is something that resonates, because to me, my favorite horror movies, The Exorcist, etc., are the ones where you have depth to go along with the scares, because you need stakes. Yep. You need a dramatic stakes in there to make the other things work. So I'm sure when you saw Stephen King say that things, that he's like, he gets it, and I'm sure you guys are very chuffed to have that kind of resonate with him. And
that was, I mean, we're still pinching ourselves about that. You know, it was when because we were in LA at the time, one of our American producers, Roy Lee, has worked with Mr. King on some stuff. I think he produced the It films recently. So they've got a connection. So he got Stephen King the link, and next thing we're getting this email saying, oh, Stephen's seen it, he loves it, and we were just in seventh heaven. It's just, I mean, that he actually watched it, it's kind of already an honor. And the fact that he's really enjoyed it, it's just, it's quite special. And as you say, I mean, I agree. I mean, we love our horror movie. We love, you know, cinema full stop. And the best horror movies are often, look, we love them all, even the schlockiest, cheapest, crappiest stuff. They've all got their pleasures, but it's the stuff that has a bit more heart, a bit more emotional engagement, that cares about story as much as the scares. And that's what we've tried to do.
What do they say? If you don't care, you don't scare.
If you want to make it, something. Make it, whatever it is.
Well, for everyone out there listening, Late Night with the Devil in Australian cinema soon. I know so many people are really, really excited to watch this film. The buzz is incredible.
heaps of people, when I was telling people I was going to interview you guys, and they're like, oh, we can't wait to see the trailer, you know, and then is that going to come out as well? I think when that trailer comes out, people are going to be really buzzing. You're going to go viral very quick with that. And I can't wait for people to watch a movie too, because to me, I think it's one of the best movies I've seen so far this year. It's just absolutely incredible. For two Australian guys to have directed this film is awesome. And also, on a personal note, Faisal Bazzi, who's in your movie, actually went to high school with him.
Oh, really?
In high school. So whenever I see him on film, it's always a pleasant surprise, because I know me and my classmates are so proud of Faisal. Because in school, he was the drama guy. He was the entertainer. Yeah. So to see him doing such great work as Christu in your movie and his other films, it's great. So.
Yeah, we're going to see him tonight at the Oz premiere for the Sydney Festival. And, you know, you could not ask for a more dedicated, but, you know, more pleasant actor to work with. He is just, he's a gem.
Yeah.
And for everyone out there listening, you couldn't ask for a better horror movie this year than Late Night with the Devil. Watch it when it comes out. I guarantee you're going to have a great time with it. And Colin and Cameron, I thank you both so much for your time. Boys, when the next film comes out, let me know. I'd love to talk to you guys again, and best of luck with this film's release.
Cool. Thank you so much, Matt. Great to talk to you.
Awesome. Likewise.